Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome on it. It is Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you. As the next hour, we'll dive all over the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. Got to be honest with you, this has been one of those shows where, you know, people have always asked me, they're like, oh, what are you talking about? I feel like the shows have rolled on pretty fine as far as everything going on with this coronavirus and this pandemic. It's been fantastic getting up in the morning. I've been watching my wife make breakfast right from my view in the garage studio and whatnot. This has kind of also been similar. People have been wondering, what are you going to talk about with combat sports? And honestly, I thought this was going to be the show where it might be a little bit more challenging than others because they have pretty much just shut down. There's not really a good gauge of when anything is going to be, back to normal. And we talked about this last week where it came to, the COVID-19 pandemic where, you know, we kind of were wondering when is the finish line? What is the light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the fight game? Because, and especially with boxing, because I know all the, we'll get into the drama of UFC 249. But the last, you know, kind of the big event that we were all looking towards was Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder, which was going to be in mid-July. And they scrapped that. And a lot of reason wasn't that this stuff isn't going to be over by July, but you just don't know when these guys are going to be able to train Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder. So this was the show I was particularly wondering, what's it going to be like? And I think as, you know, the weeks roll on, we'll probably be doing a lot of interviews and we'll start branching out like that. You know that we did that with Shannon the Cannon Briggs recently, and I imagine we'll go into that kind of a direction. But you know, this has been a sport that's had a lot of drama around it, seemingly because you have this UFC 249 drama that is ongoing and never seems to go away. And, you know, when we first spoke about it, I remember it was the last time, this was 2 weeks ago, it was the last time that I was in our Miami studios. And I remember getting the call from my boss that day, that we were going to be off the air for a couple of days as we sorted things out to do home studio stuff. But that was like the last time I was just like, I don't understand the point of bastardizing something that we've been waiting so long for with the hopes of salvaging something. Like it was, you know, some of these things that, you know, there's some things in sports that you wait for that it's just good enough to wait for them and get them to the full effect. And so I didn't understand the rush, the need to get UFC 249 in from the UFC president. I think he obviously had a very laid back focus of what was going on. Just the thinking that we were going to be, he's not of the belief we should stop everything. And look, it's been hard on a lot of companies. Even the parent company of the UFC, WME, Endeavor has had to do significant pay cuts. Our own company has gone through that stuff as well. Everybody's affected by this. And, you know, the wonderment of the UFC going about this and to try and keep things business as usual as much as they can. from part of the standpoint, you know, you understand that a guy as ambitious as Dana White wants to keep it going. But from the other side, because there's so many things that go into putting a fight together and making sure these guys are in shape to fight and do everything they can to be ready to fight, to leave them all hanging out in the air like this for weeks upon weeks, and now into a point where we are getting to that we're getting to 2 weeks out from UFC 249, and this was, I really feel like, the week where it all kind of bottomed out for this plan. And what ended up happening, so it was a domino effect. And this was funny because I was reading this on MMA Reddit, and it said that Khabib is stuck in Russia. And I thought, there's just no way. There's no way that the guy would be in a position where he would go back to Russia. There was talks about him doing it without permission, that he would do this in a situation where he couldn't get himself to the fight. It seemed more so that he had left America because they were going to fight in Abu Dhabi, and that's why he left, you know, just to put himself in position so he'd be able to get there if that was the case. But you get all these interviews that are coming out with Dana White where he's talking about, you know, I try one thing and another thing messes up, or I open one door and another one shuts, all that type of stuff. You know, these very weird quotes that, for a guy who was so sure that this card was going to go on, is now just like scrambling. It seemed that I think that's the best way to put it. It seemed like the UFC president was scrambling a little bit to make this happen. And so, you know, you read these things, Khabib is stuck in Russia, he's not going to be able to get out. It kind of seemed like BS. There was, you know, a lot of conflicting stuff that was going on over social media. And then Nurmagomedov does an Instagram Live, and he talks about what he was going through, that they went to United Emirates, and that they went to, you know, get themselves in position to go to Dubai for Abu Dhabi for the fight. And, you know, they're telling him, like, we're shutting the borders, and so you're not going to be able to get home. And so I guess the idea was, well, let's not be in a position where we're stuck. Let's be in a position where we can at least fluctuate a little bit. We'll go to Russia. So they go back to Russia, and then Russia decides to do the same thing. They're shutting the borders. So Nurmagomedov is essentially stuck if he were just a normal guy. Now, this is a man who is very, very tied politically, you know, good relationship with Putin, really good relationship with the Ramzan Kadyrov, the president of Chechnya. This is a guy who offered to host the fight. Now, that guy's, you know, crazy. He wants people to fight to the death. So I would have a hard time believing that if Khabib wanted to get out of Russia, I have a hard time believing Russia would deny him getting out of Russia. But neither here nor there. Apparently, he flew to Russia, maybe without the UFC's permission, and in their mind, he was out. You know, they start talking about Justin Gaethje. You have a week where everybody's stepping up, and they're putting themselves, they're throwing their hat in the ring to make this fight happen. Dana White then is doubling down, and he's like, this is going to be the biggest card ever. You had to the point where Conor McGregor's coach is saying, he was saying, he was throwing his hat, Conor's hat in the ring, sort of, because Ariel puts, should Tony fight on the 18th against Justin Gaethje or wait for Khabib? And then he goes, well, what if there's a third option? And then everybody's going, googly eyes emoji. I love a good googly eye emoji when it comes to sports controversies or sports rumors. And so there's a lot of stuff going on, man. Like Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman are throwing their name in the ring to main event. Dustin Poirier is offering to fight Tony Ferguson. Tyron Woodley and Colby Covington are offering to fight each other, the longtime rivalry. So everybody's stepping up in line. And the funny thing is, you know, you always wonder, you know, we have these situations where, you know, guys are very particular about who they fight and when they fight. But UFC is in an interesting spot because those last minute savior types of paydays are always very good business wise for the fighters. And it's one of the rare times that a UFC fighter will get leverage on the company. You know, for the most part, you don't want to call the UFC a monopoly, but for lack of a better term, they are. I mean, you know, all respect to Bellator, which I feel like is kind of flatlined after, you know, what was a good start to the Scott Coke era. I feel like has kind of petered out a little bit. You know, and PFL is doing some nice stuff, but it is what it is. You know, they are just up and coming and are a reconstruction of a brand. And, you know, they are just on the up and up. So they're a clear distant number three to what a clear distant number two is to UFC. And the UFC is in this great spot where they always have the strength of negotiations when it comes to a fighter. They just do. I mean, other than Conor McGregor, who is bigger than the sport and bigger than the UFC, for the most part, they're it when it comes to it. So, you know, if it's the rare occasion where a guy like Jorge Masvidal, think about how many fights Jorge Masvidal has and how long it took him to get a $1 million payday. Would never happen in boxing for a guy of his recognition. There are guys who are nowhere near his class in the sport or nowhere near the years that he has in the sport, and they're getting that stuff on the regular. So that's a fascinating thing when you see that all these fighters are willing to step in. They're willing to step in, but they're willing to step in because they know it's going to come with a great reward. So while, you know, some may say, well, why would such and such not fight on this notice, but they'll fight on this? It's because they're trying to milk the UFC a little bit, because, and especially the writing's on the wall with Dana White. I mean, you know, rare does the guy seem desperate, or rare does he seem like he's ever going to get bent over a table when it comes to negotiations. This is one of those where, like, if you are a fighter or you are a fighter's manager and you feel like you really can come to the table and say, like, hey, Masvidal will fight on 2 weeks' notice, or Usman will fight on 2 weeks' notice. I think the thing that's weird about this, though, is, you know, for Usman and for Justin Gaethje and all these guys who are trying to step in, they have the same representation as Khabib does. And so it is interesting seeing that, where we are looking at a situation where he's got to negotiate for new fighters because his fighter doesn't know where the fight's going to be, but he's still going to negotiate for a fight where nobody knows where it's going to take place. We know the when. It's supposed to take place on April 18th. We know the who. It's supposed to be against Tony Ferguson. But we don't know that. The only person who's not really in a position, the only person who doesn't really have to be desperate or jumping for a payday here is Tony, because while I'm sure Tony's going to get paid handsomely, and he made that, he made it clear this week that he's still willing to fight, he doesn't really have to, because the Khabib fight's going to be a big fight. I think it's going to be even bigger now if he were to wait it out. So he's the only one who really doesn't have to bend over backwards to make it happen, yet they need him to be the guy there, especially if it is just a 155 fighter, a Poirier, a Gaethje, somebody like that. So going on to the other part of this week. So we find out from Khabib, he's out. A lot of fighters are throwing their hat in the ring, but Ariel Helwani reports that Justin Gaethje is the main guy. We had him on Tuesday. Ariel was kind enough to join our morning show. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Either way, it was on Tuesday. And he made it clear, like, Justin Gaethje is the guy. That's the plan. Masvidal is and Usman, they kicked around. I think they know that Masvidal is not coming to the table unless it's for oodles of money. I think Kamaru Usman, the same thing. So Gaethje's probably the guy they can get for good money, but probably keep it realistic. They're going to have a fight go on. It should be an awesome fight. If Tony's willing to go do it, then boom, you got yourself something, and you don't have to necessarily break the bank. So we get that news. Justin Gaethje's the guy. And then Tony does an interview with Ariel Helwani, and he's like making the point that Khabib Nurmagomedov is running again, that this is a clear case of him ducking him, and that he flew to Russia. He didn't have to fly to Russia. He flew to Russia for under his own volition and has left him high and dry. And this is the fifth time this fight has happened. It's 3-2, as Conor McGregor so greatly put it this week, in favor of Tony Ferguson for pullouts. And so where do we go from here? You know, we're in this weird position where we have two guys who are clearly the best lightweights on the planet. We can't ever get them in a cage together. And so how do you go about determining who the best fighter in the best division is. How is it that this is this cursed? How is it that the MMA gods are laughing at the UFC fan saying you will never get this fight? We've had Khabib not make weight. We had Tony Ferguson wearing sunglasses inside and mother bleeping, tripping over television wires, tearing up his knee, unable to get to the bout. And now we are in a position where a pandemic is going on. The UFC president was insistent about making it happen rather than just postponing it to late summer. And here yet we stand, 2 weeks out. Tony Ferguson is going to fight probably Justin Gaethje, if they do fight at all, if they could find a venue that actually wants to host them. And what? And Khabib is going to be in Russia. And what does it do for anybody? When we come back, I do want to talk about more of the fallout of what this means, because, you know, Tony's calling for Khabib to be stripped. Khabib is calling the UFC unprofessional. Connor kind of putting his beak into the business again. And the rivalry of Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal took another turn. We'll get into some of that. Fighters Fury back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you live from the garage studio. Hope everybody's having a great weekend and looking forward to another week. Hope everybody's staying safe out there. I know things are getting a little bit crazy. So just hold your family tight. You know, be the best human you can be to everybody. And we'll get through this, man. We will get through this, absolutely. We'll roll on with UFC 249 because there were a lot of chapters to unfold. But I really just kind of want to get to the rivalry of what these two dealt with, because Tony Ferguson was on ESPN this week. And after getting the news that Khabib is in Russia, seems like the fight is off, at least between them. He looks like he's going to continue to fight, or plans to fight, as long as the UFC can find a venue, which, you got to be honest with you, seems like a pretty big if. But here is Tony Ferguson, the UFC, former UFC interim lightweight champion of the world and current number one contender on a long winning streak. Here's what Tony had to say about the Khabib situation.
You know, you can drop down on Khabib's front doorstep, man, and that dude still will not fight. He will punk out. It's defender vacate, Ariel. That dude needs to be stripped. I don't know. I haven't saw anything in the news this morning about the flight and everything. Rumor was it that he said, basically, he's like, I got to, you know, take care of my family, my health, and everything else, man. Bro, you have an obligation. You signed up on the dotted line to be representing not just your country, right? Because that's what you said. You represent your country and you do everything. You ran, bro. You listened to your pops and you did everything that you could to possibly avoid an ass whooping.
So he's calling for Khabib to be stripped. Now, I will say this. I did say this on my show this week. This is the only criteria, I think, why you could say that the fight should, why Khabib should be stripped of the title. And I think that is because Tony Ferguson was in a situation where he lost the interim title. It was taken from him all because he tripped over some damn cable wires working for the UFC. So if you want to talk about circumstances of getting stripped, That was pretty rough. Now, he was interim champion. He wasn't the champion. And there is a difference there. The one thing I would say, though, is if you're going to talk about, well, what is the difference between the two? Let's just say under the parameters they're working, they're both working under terrible parameters, right? Terrible circumstances. Understood. But Tony is going forth. He is raising his hand and saying he'll fight. Khabib is out here saying that this is unprofessional, that this is unacceptable, and that he just wants a location of where to fight because he has a lot to deal with. Here's Khabib talking to Brett Okamoto earlier in the week.
This is not regular fight. This is like, how is like 16 days before fight and I don't know location. What is this? This is not professional. This is not like, even like Tony Ferguson, like a couple days ago, he talked, hey, if I don't have location, I'm not going to sign contract. He said this. This is not my word. But nobody pay attention on this. You know, I don't understand. Like, hey, give me a location. I have to come. I have to fly. I have to jet lag, you know, like different climate. I have to cut weight. I have to focus. I have to finish my training camp. Like, too many stuff. Too much. Okay. Like, right now, if they give me location, if I can come out from Russia and I can go to in any countries like US, Abu Dhabi, doesn't matter. I'm going to fight 100%. 100% I'm going to fight.
So Khabib's upset. And understandably so. But here's the thing that's tough. If you're a fan of Nurmagomedov, Tony was dealing with all this stuff too. You know, that I do think that has to be part of the story. Is that, yeah, I wouldn't like the idea of somebody's title getting stripped because we're in the middle of a pandemic and this guy thought it a priority to go home to Russia. But these guys were under the agreement. Like, you know, it could have been one of those things where, you know, Khabib was in the situation where he's training and he's frustrated and all that stuff. But you don't think Tony was dealing with that stuff as well? And so I just think that if you're going to go back to some of the reasons we've seen guys get stripped, and namely one of the participants that's in this fight, if you're going to give me what's a more legit reason to strip a guy, one is basically flying off to another country, refusing to do the fight, or a guy tripping and tearing his knee while he's working for the company. I mean, you know, in most people's field of business, that's workman's comp. That's not a grounds to be demoted, which is basically what happened to Tony Ferguson when he tore up his knee. So I think there's a case to be made for Khabib to be stripped. But here's the problem with doing it, is that ultimately, if you do strip Nurmagomedov, that you are going to be in a situation where people are going to look upon Tony as a paper champion again. You know, he's going to win the interim championship and against Justin Gaethje, if he beats Justin Gaethje. And people are going to look at that and say that's kind of a Fugazi belt. It doesn't really mean much. You know, like I'm seeing this week with the John Jones news and John Jones getting arrested for DWI and pleading guilty and all that stuff. And people are saying, well, he should be, you know, there should be an interim title. I'm like, well, why? You know, John's not going away for a long time. Why? Because he got in trouble. You feel like you're worthy of getting a championship shot? I mean, okay. I mean, Thiago Santos and Dominic Reyes, by all means, fight for a championship. But I think in the eyes of the fans, we've seen with Daniel Cormier, unless you beat the man, it's tough for people to think of you as the man. So I don't know what stripping Khabib really does for Tony. I think he has an argument for them to take the title from Khabib. I really do. But I just don't. I think in the end, if he ends up himself with a belt after this, what does it do for Tony Ferguson? It's the second interim title, and both of them are under not great circumstances. But I understand his frustration. Like this Nurmagomedov, this was the rap on him before the Conor thing. Like, look, Nurmagomedov, a lot of people thought was the best lightweight in the world for a long time, but his availability was certainly in question. The weight issues, the injury issues, all of this type of stuff were things that people had to be worried about with Khabib and what they were dealing with him as a champion. You know, it's not until recently that he's had this resurgence and looked upon as one of the stars of UFC, beating Conor McGregor the way he did in a highly publicized fight will do that for you. But I get it. I get it from Tony Ferguson. I get the frustration that he's going with these two, because this is the fifth time this is supposed to happen. And really, how could you, other than the fact that if they don't strip Khabib and he does have to fight for, if he does end up having to fight him to win the championship, you got to think at some point, the only thing that's going to keep this from happening is, you know, if he loses to Justin Gaethje or if he ends up losing to Conor McGregor or something like that. But if he continues on top, eventually they're going to get back to each other. This path is inevitable. It's going to cross again. And then what? And then, you know, does it help business that, again, this is the last unicorn of all fights? Or are people going to get sick of the dog and pony show where you swear to God that you're going to get this great show and all of a sudden it's taken away from you? Because it has now been a handful of times. And that's wildly frustrating if you're a UFC fan dealing with all this stuff. From Nurmagomedov's standpoint of being frustrated with the UFC's professionalism, I get it. You know, this is one of those things where the person to mostly blame here is Dana. I don't want to hose down Khabib because he's scared to fight Tony. I don't think he's scared to fight Tony, but he is the A side here. You know, he is the guy that makes it go. And bet your ass if Floyd Mayweather was taking somebody on in the middle of a pandemic and, you know, he didn't know where the fight was, I mean, it wouldn't even be a question that the fight would be postponed or be on Floyd Mayweather's terms. And, you know, Nurmagomedov's not Floyd Mayweather, but if you were going to put an apples to apples, I mean, he probably is the Canelo. He is probably top three right now of fame in the UFC. And so with that being the case, you get it. You get it. I know there's people that don't like that, and they think that these guys always say anytime, anyplace, anywhere, but they don't have a where. Like, that's the, you know, that is the thing that's really the hardest part if you're Nurmagomedov. It's like, well, where is the fight going to be? Does anybody know? Because you remember last week I was hosing down the idea that it was going to be in Florida. I said, no effing way. You know, there's been local cards down here. They canceled like four of them. They were able to have one card in Jacksonville under like some real strict rules. But yeah, there were cards at the Gulfstream that was canceled, Hard Rock that was canceled, Mikasuki that were canceled on 24 hours notice. You know, guys had already cut weight and were supposed to fight at the Mikasuki, and they canceled the fights. So I just thought, no way. But at this point, I can't see the fight being international. So it's got to be somewhere. The only thing, this was the one idea that I thought made sense, if it was possible, but I don't think it really involves Ferguson, I guess, although it could. If they ended up going to Colby versus Woodley or an Usman versus Masvidal, the easiest way to do this, if you really want to have a card, if you really wanted to have a card that has the least amount of contamination, the easiest chess pieces to move, I think. This is just me throwing it out there. I do believe that American Top Team has a full-size ring, or has a full-size cage, so you could theoretically do it at that gym. It is a monstrosity, so they could fit all the television equipment they need in there, I think, to make do and do a broadcast. You know, look, man, I've gone to warehouses here. They throw up a cage. It's not like you need the craziest setup in the world. I'm just trying to make it easier for everybody. You know, places where Masvidal goes anyway because he's training. Usman is literally down the block. If they were to make that happen. For a Tony Ferguson fight or for a guy who's training in Big Bear, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there. You know, probably them going to some place, some reservation somewhere that maybe gets to work outside the guidelines of the United States of America. But I don't know, man. There's for me, I'm hoping that the answer would have just been let's postpone the thing. It seems like Tony's still raising his hand and he's willing to go and say I'm ready to go. That's awesome, man. That's my son. He's popping into the garage just saying what's up to everybody. He's just built himself a gorilla. So I just think that from the standpoint for Tony is you're fighting Justin Gaethje, cool. I don't know what it does for you though, man. Like, I think for because here's the thing. Nobody, it's not to take anything away from Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje is a tremendous fighter. He's all violence all the time. He's had a really nice bounce back after what people probably thought was maybe his game peaking when he first got into the UFC, where, you know, he won a fight by attrition after looking like he was going to lose. And then started getting his ass kicked by a lot of guys who just looked a little bit more talented than him. And now it's really swung again where he's become that killer. I don't feel like Tony needs to gain any lightweight credibility from anybody. He's already beaten the who's who. With Gaethje, I thought the perfect place for him to probably go was a Conor McGregor fight. One, I think it'll up the star power of Gaethje. Two, I think if Conor beats him, I think it just adds to his credibility. It's not the most, I don't think he's the highest rated, one of the highest rated contenders that he could beat. You know, I think Poirier is better than him, but I get it. You don't want to redo the Poirier thing because you smashed him when he was at 145 pounds a decade ago. Well, not a decade ago, but 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever it was. From Conor's standpoint, I think beating Gaethje would be a good feather in the cap because he is a top contender and people would look at it upon Conor actually earning his way back to the title rather than being spoon-fed a guy like Donald Cerrone, who I think is who I don't even have to tell you is a legend. He's absolutely amazing. But, you know, winning a fight like that would mean a lot for Conor to show fans, okay, he actually deserves to fight for the championship. Tony doesn't need that. Tony doesn't need to prove that he's worthy of a title shot against Nurmagomedov. He doesn't, you know, hell, he might be champion already if his knee never got torn up. He might be champion. And he came back, what? Did he come back on 6 months' notice to beat Anthony Pettis? He's will is second to none in this sport. It's unbelievable. I don't think he needs a Justin Gaethje fight to prove anything, but if he wants to be the Hulk Hogan, cup his hand to his ear to do this for all the nurses and doctors and give the people entertainment in a storm of crap where we got no sports and nothing to watch. Yeah, listen, I think it'll help him. I definitely don't think it hurts him from a fan perspective, but he could lose the fight. He could lose to Justin Gaethje, and I know that's the risk these guys always take when they go in there. But if he loses this fight, he is the boogeyman opponent I don't feel like anybody wants to face, and I don't feel like is going to get a shot again, because I feel like Nurmagomedov will sit back and laugh and hold on to his gold and never take him on again. And for Conor, I don't think that matchup against Tony will be one that he's going to feel like he needs. If anything, I think that'll put him back, make Gaethje look better. And so if Conor beats Gaethje, then it makes the Nurmagomedov fight him seem even more legit to fight Nurmagomedov for the belt. So I just look, man, I hope Tony's going to get paid handsomely for this. I hope they all get paid handsomely for this, but I hope that the reward is certainly worth the risk and all of the headaches that he had to deal with, especially Nurmagomedov pulling out of this fight yet again. We're back with more on Fighter's Fury after this. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back, everybody. It is Fighter's Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you. But there was some crazy news this week with Billy Joe Saunders, where the WBO super middleweight champion of the world, Billy Joe Saunders, he was getting set to fight Canelo Alvarez probably very soon. He got suspended by the British Boxing Board. They took his license away because of a video that he put up where he was basically, it was like a give advice on how to hit your woman during a quarantine of COVID-19. And they came in swiftly and they said, F that, sir. Get the hell out of here with that kind of endorsement of things to say. So they took his license away from his remarks on social media. And it was one of those things where he's this is a guy who's been in trouble a bunch. You know, he got into trouble for offering drugs to a woman if she performed an act to one of his buddies. He's been a guy who has tested positive and been suspended for using PEDs. And, you know, Billy Joe Saunders is a guy who, I think probably his real prime performance where everybody was like, whoa, this guy could be something, was against David Lemieux. And that performance was a while ago. It's saying something. So, you know, this guy continues to go down the path of being a complete jackass, you know, if we may. And, you know, I think a lot of people probably don't get the idea of it because, you know, he's a British star and, you know, hung with Tyson Fury a lot. But, yeah, just very disappointed to see stuff like this, because it's not like, you know, this is a sport that has had its share of domestic violence around its fighters in the past. So you have a guy actively going out there joking about it, endorsing it, making videos about it. It just doesn't play, man, especially with the it's bad enough that you do it, but you do it in the situation that we're in right now. Just awful. And Chris Eubank Jr. is one of those guys where he's hosing him down. He goes, so Billy Joe Saunders is a woman beating, COVID-19 hoaxing, drug abusing, police impersonating moron. Oh yeah. Paid a vulnerable woman to punch an innocent man in the face as well. How many chances is this idiot going to get before he takes his license away for a good amount of time? As fighters at the top, we have kids looking up to us, copying what we do inside and outside the ring, and having Billy Joe Saunders represent boxing is an injustice to all women suffering in abusive relationships and to kids who learn that from abusers. It's rough, man. Now, Billy Joe would go on and he would reply to Chris Eubank by, you know, sending a message of sending a screenshot of him beating him in a fight. But, you know, it's tough to argue. I mean, like, look, we're not talking about the results of you as a boxer. I think this is the thing that's always funny, is like whenever professional athletes or fighters get in trouble, they think the response is, but the results erase what I did. And we talked a little bit about this with John Jones last week, is where he is one of the rare guys where a lot of what he has done outside the cage has not affected his performance inside the cage, that his greatness is still pretty unparalleled, despite taking every wrong turn personally. And with Billy Joe Saunders, it's not the same case. Like, this has not been a guy who's looked like a world beater for a while now. And now you put on top of it all this jackassery that he's doing outside of the ring. It's just wholly disappointing. Some other news from across the pond. Anthony Joshua versus Kubrat Pulev was officially postponed. Not surprising. They were, I think it was June 20th. They were scheduled to do that for Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn, you've had to twist his arm a little bit. He's been, I would say, the closest thing to Dana White as far as this coronavirus pandemic is concerned with scheduling his fights. He's really tried to think every which way to try and keep boxing going. But this is not, this is not surprising. This is what it is. And I think people are hoping that a lot of this stuff gets cleared up, but we don't know, man. Like, this has been a week where we've had people in the NBA talk about they think the season's done. We've had Kirk Herbstreit come out recently and say that he thinks there's not going to be a football season next season. So, you know, do with that what you will. All it means for right now is we're in a situation where it's a lot of stuff up in the air. I told you the thing that scares me about boxing is I'm trying to find on this where the date is. Where is the time where it could turn around? Because with football, we know when football is going to start. With basketball, we kind of have the idea that, you know, this stuff probably has to be wrapped up by the time the NFL gets going. Maybe that means a delayed start to next season. The rumors around baseball are July 4th opening day, maybe 100 game season instead of 162. But man, with boxing and then with UFC, we've talked to up and down about UFC 249. We don't really talk about any other card. I don't know what the situation with that's going to be. But with boxing, man, boxing just doesn't have that date where we're looking at and saying that is where things can get back to where it's supposed to be. We thought maybe that was going to be in July with Fury Wilder 3. That got postponed last week. Now we have Joshua. His fight is put on hold. You know, you start looking around, you scrounge around, you're like, man, is this going to be one of those things where like Canelo Triple G in September is going to be the big thing where we all return? Because boxing is also interesting in that it has waves. Typically, like, August isn't a month where they do a lot of business. Everybody kind of stays off. A lot of people on vacation. It's not a very big business month. I remember my family, we used to shut the doors at August. We had a furniture store, Nielsen's Furniture in Deerfield Beach, for decades. And my grandfather would always close in August. He said, F it. You know, we don't do business anyway. Everybody can kind of recharge their batteries. It's almost a very European model where they just take all this time off. My grandfather would get up every single day, you know, put the cookies out, make the coffees for his customers. And you know, would do that 6 days a week. Didn't work on Sundays. And then on August, shut it on down. Just because business wasn't good. There's no point. Nobody was here in Florida. Everybody was either out of town or just wasn't in the mood to shop, all that type of stuff. So boxing is similar in that regard. I know it took a weird turn there, but boxing is similar in that regard where it, you know, it usually goes in waves. Usually it's like Cinco de Mayo to July, and then we'll kind of take August off, and then we'll resume back at Mexican Independence Weekend for a Canelo fight again. It's kind of like the seasons of Canelo. It's like May to July, and then September to December, with maybe a couple things sprinkled in there in the early winter, going like a February fight, something like that. Usually a St. Patrick's Day fight. And I'm talking about major pay-per-views. Obviously, you know, with the way things are with the streaming platform, I mean, you were getting a boxing card damn near every week. That was interesting. Wanted to give a quick shout out locally to Aaron Aponte, the Alien King. He turned professional this week. He's a friend of the show. We interviewed him, want to say in September. And Aaron was supposed to go fight in Tokyo for the Olympics. He had a lot of national amateur accolades, but obviously the Olympics are postponed. And that is a very fragile thing when it comes to young fighters, the timing of the Olympics, why certain guys get to be on the Olympics. And it's a bit of a lost opportunity, because I would say more so now than maybe over the last 10 years, they're really marketing those people of, this guy was an Olympic gold medalist, this guy was an Olympian. Shakur Stevenson and Clarissa Shields really come to mind as two Olympians who everybody really looks top rank really built around, and Showtime built around. So It is a lost opportunity, but I think it's the best you make of an opportunity. You know, there's a guy we've interviewed a couple times, Xander Zayas, who didn't match up with the Olympics, didn't line up with the Olympics age-wise, so just went straight to the pros. So Aaron is 18 years old, seen him spar a couple times. Dude's an absolute beast. He's got a good manager, I think, in Peter Kahn, who's good at guiding these young fighters. So congratulations to him. Really good kid, and look forward to speaking with him down the road. But big congratulations. Hialeah's own. Trains right there at the KO Fitness Gym in Hialeah. Great family around him that's very involved with his boxing career, as a lot of these young fighters are. So all the best to him, man. Just wanted to give him a shout out and wish him the best in these troubling times. Before we get out of here, if I could give you some recommended viewing. So we were talking about the lead up to UFC 249, some people throwing their hat in the ring, and it kind of cranked up again with Jorge Masvidal and Kamaru Usman. It was weird, man. You know, they're both saying, I am getting a little tired of, because I'm getting a little tired of the back and forth between them, from the standpoint of, I just want them to fight already. Cause and this is the funny thing. I called this back when, you guys remember, I said when, and remember, we got to interview them both at Super Bowl Radio Row, when we interviewed Jorge the day before of the scuffle, and we interviewed Kamaru Usman literally 10 minutes after the scuffle happened between the two of them. But I told you guys, I thought that Jorge, as much as he and his management talked about the counter fight, I know everybody wants the Conor fight. I know everybody does. But he didn't have any reason for wanting to fight Conor other than money. And I want all fighters to get paid well, but making money is not the number one motivation of me wanting to watch a fight. I don't want to watch a fight because these guys are getting paid oodles of money. I get it. A lot of the times we dictate, you know, a conversation around what these guys' payday is going to be and what how much dough they're going to make. They all should be making a ton more, trust me, especially in the UFC. But the juicier fights are the ones that have the great backstory. And Usman and Jorge had just done a better job of selling fighting each other than Jorge has of fighting Conor, or Kamaru has of wanting to fight Leon Edwards, which made no sense. I remember talking to him before his fight with Colby, and he's like, yeah, I don't think George is deserving. I think we should fight Leon Edwards. I'm like, you do? Like, really? Like, that's what we're going to do? You're going to undercut him like that? But Masvidal, I mean, he dropped this YouTube video this week, and I mean, it is a work of art. I mean, they go back to the archives on Kamaru Usman of him praising Masvidal and ripping Masvidal, him calling himself Martin, calling himself Kamaru Usman, some of his stuff where, you know, he had the grab in the fence controversies on the Ultimate Fighter show, all that type of stuff. So it's a really, really funny video. Props where props is due for them for that. As far as, you know, and then as far as Kamaru's calling, called Jorge a clout chaser. They're calling him soft. There's not only a crosstown rivalry, there's a knowing each other rivalry. There is there's just the fact that they're, one's the champion and one, I think, is the deserving contender at that weight class. And then there is also the fact where you have the management teams hate each other like poison. And that is, you know, Ali, whatever the hell they're called, Dominance MMA, and, the Kawa brothers with First Round Management. Obviously, there's been physical altercations there, verbal altercations like crazy. They don't like each other. So you have two management teams that do great jobs on social media where they're going back and forth. But ultimately, I want to see these guys fight in an octagon. I want to see Jorge Masvidal versus Kamaru Usman. I would say second to Tony versus Khabib, which I might as well just give up on. It's the fight I want to see the most. I'm excited about it. And they've done a great job building it. So now it's just kind of time to go. Like, I saw DC intervene with these guys on social media saying, all right, they both want to fight each other. Can we just make the fight happen? Which I appreciate. I'm like, yeah, what they need is a neutral party, because if we're ever going to get this fight to happen, if it's going to be between these two just chirping, it feels like no one's ever going to make it happen and have it come to fruition. But hopefully we will get it this year. You know, it's kind of hard to know what date everything's going to be on. But I do know this. I know that's going to be a hell of a fight when it happens. I hope everybody stays safe out there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Fighters Fury. We'll talk to you guys same time, same place next week. Stay safe, everybody.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.